Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, what to preach on. Should I preach the epistle that says to be obedient or submissive to those who watch out for your souls because they have to give an account? Should I speak of the great burden that lies upon every pastor, the stole that he wears around his neck, knowing that every soul that he has ministered to, he is responsible to give an account to God for? Should I preach on that which is your responsibility to be submissive with joy and not with grief, for that is most unprofitable for you? Should we preach on prayer, that you might speak to God and not be silent? All these things are wonderful sermons to be had. No, the one that hit me today was, as you heard from Psalm 42, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, where is your God?" It says that Mary Magdalene was the one whom Jesus appeared to. And she went and told this to the disciples after some much fear and trembling, I'm sure, astonishment, amazement, disbelief, as you heard on Sunday. But she went and told it to them as they wept and mourned. Their tears were their food night and day, and many of them, those who were the same who were at the cross, the soldiers, the Pharisees, all those who passed by, like the thief ridiculing him and mocking him from the cross, saying, "Where is your God? If you are God, save yourself." Where is your God? Is that not the same thing that we often hear ourselves when they say to us, "Where is your God? If he is real, why will he not reveal himself to us? Let him come down now, and surely we will believe." But we know better. We ought not put God to the test. But why is it that people are so actively against believing? It takes work, in fact. I think it takes more work to be unbelieving than it does to be believing. Because again, there is more evidence for the word of God to be true than there is statistical probability that all things came and happened into being. You witnessed the eclipse, many of you. You saw that even the heavens declare the glory of God. For who could account for such a precision of the moon and the sun being in alignment at that time other than the hand of God? Did that not remind you of the text that we just had a couple weeks ago, where darkness was over the face of the earth? Did it not make you think of the crucifixion of Christ, when the sun did not give its light? God's glory is all around us, his faithfulness confirmed for us in the word of God. There is no reason for us not to believe, or to be so discouraged by those who say to us, "Where is your God?" Why do we put so much stake in what other people say about us? What knowledge do they have that can inform us about the living God in which we come to worship each week? What words can they possibly say that can affect us? Because what do we possess but the witness of the resurrection? What do we possess but the sure and certain truth of what God has done faithfully for generations, thousands of generations? Proclaim his love. Proclaim his mercy. They are written for us. An account has been given to us of all of the souls that have been in the care of God. And God has never shown himself to be unfaithful. Where is your God? My God is risen from the dead. Where is your God? My God is with me, his presence with me, that I may serve him and willingly do what he commands out of joy. Where is my God? My God prays for me. The Holy Spirit intercedes for me with groanings too deep for words when I know not what to pray. Where is my God? My God, my sure deliverer. He is my rock of refuge. Just as he has burst forth from the tomb, so I know that wherever he goes, I go with him through it all. What joy and gladness this brings to me. Because no matter how many times people may rail against Christianity, they actively work so hard. Where I don't have to do that work. God enriches me with his living and active word. He sustains my faith and constantly draws me back to the place where he is and where he is for my good, in the witness of the saints that have been recorded for us in all of Scripture, who testify that God is faithful to his promises and fulfills them. The words from Jesus on the cross, "It is finished," is the word fulfilled. All things are fulfilled in Christ. When Mary Magdalene visits the tomb and is met by the living Lord, she is in disbelief. But what does Jesus do but show tender compassion to her, to encourage her to go back and give this great witness of life to those who are weeping and mourning death? Where is our God but in the midst of death with life? Where is our God but coming to us with the words of comfort? As you heard on Sunday, we have the God who has given us the word of forgiveness that we might be constantly comforted in all things. How is it then that we become so discouraged in life? Why is it that it is that our tears become our food, our drink? How can we who possess such a great word, a great witness, a knowledge of God's actions for over 6,000 years, which have never shown him to do anything that is not for the good of our salvation, including giving his only son over into death? How can we be even the least bit discouraged? We have no reason. In fact, we have to work to be discouraged. We have to give more importance to the things that are around us, to the world that is passing away, than to the God who created the world, who sustains the world, who shows that he is restoring the world even in his resurrection, the firstborn, the first fruits from the dead. We actually have to actively work to disprove God's faithfulness. We actively have to work to disbelieve the promises that God has so clearly written for us in the Scriptures. This is what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to be actively working against the things which we know to be true, so that we are discouraged and we despair. But God is with us. God is faithful. God is the one who has not only died for us, but has also risen that we might be justified before him. God has declared you forgiven. And he has never, ever said that he will leave you or forsake you. He has said, I will be with you through it all, which is why this hymn is so perfect for today. If God has said he will be with you, then do not work against him. Instead, do as we have just sung in stanza 6. Cling forever to Christ, my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never. Whatever he passes through, he rends death's iron chain. He breaks through sin and pain. He shatters hell's grim thrall. I follow him through it all. So whenever they say, where is your God? Say he is leading you. Say he is guiding you. Say he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns. Say to them who discourage you, who wish for you to cry day and night and mourn over your God, say, I have no reason to mourn. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.